Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
When worlds collide, it happened yesterday before the Brewers took on the Red Sox, a packed Memorial Day crowd at American Family Field, and Packers quarterback Jordan Love with the first pitch.
Well, he didn't bounce it, I'll tell you that much.
Well, he was throwing it over the linebacker's action right there. You know, he had a little bit of a touch feel pass right there.
A little bit high to the catcher, but nonetheless, it did not bounce, and the Brewers won. So, I don't know, bring back Jordan for every first pitch. Brewers and Red Sox tonight. Adam McKelvey covers the Brewers expertly for Brewers.com. Did you get a chance to meet the Packers quarterback yesterday, Adam?
No, I wish I would have, but I was in a full scramble with actual work and got in late from Pittsburgh Sunday night and then quick turnaround and was busy writing Logan Henderson, kind of a surprise roster move. So I did not get down. I was on it for Giannis's last year? That was a good one.
I don't know. Last year, couple years ago.
I think it was a couple. I think Thanasis has tried. Maybe that didn't go quite as well as Giannis.
So that's what I'm thinking of. Thanasis did it, and Giannis was down there. So went down, and it was last year because Jackson Churio, I remember meeting Giannis and seeing them side by side was really cool. So I miss Jordan Love, but our friend Tim Van Boren said he got to catch up with him, and sounds like he had a fun time at the ballpark.
Well, what a blast. I know just the fans, they love that, right? Even on social media, if you weren't at the game, just to see somebody like Jordan Love throwing out the first pitch, that's just fun. I was thinking about you, Adam, the other day because I saw this article out there that was talking about our MLB's biggest spenders, its best teams. And it was interesting because it broke down teams by like powerhouses, the middle, the basement, and then overachievers. And Milwaukee was in the overachievers category, which normally wouldn't surprise me. But the reason I'm asking you this today is I was kind of like, are we considered overachievers this year? I know we don't spend a lot of money, and we didn't in the offseason, but the way that things started, I don't know. Is that a fair assessment today that we're the overachievers?
Well, I mean, if you go on what Pat Murphy says, they're underachieving this year, and he is not particularly thrilled with the way they've played, and he's been pretty open about it, talking about how they've lost their edge. And then, you know, the other day in Pittsburgh, he gave us a spelling lesson where he asked us to spell remnant. Because he thought he was seeing remnants of kind of what they were able to do last year to squeeze the most out of, you know, a roster that doesn't have a lot of star power, but they're pesky and they get on base and they kind of make things happen and scored enough runs to win. And he has not seen that same edge this year and has been pretty frustrated by it. So I don't think Murph would consider the Brewers overachievers this year, but in the context of the last bunch of years,
sure,
you know, look, they all want to win in the postseason, and they're very aware because we all keep writing about it and asking about it that they haven't won in the postseason since 2018, and that's what they want to do. But in terms of regular season success, they've certainly punched above their weight.
So, Adam, you alluded to this earlier. You were kind of hard at work writing a Logan Henderson piece. Here's the hottest member of the Milwaukee Brewers rotation. He's won his first three starts as a big leaguer. Nobody in franchise history has done it. The team is looking for ways to scratch and claw wins. Well, welcome to the party, Logan Henderson. Thank you. Now we got to send you back to AAA. Can you walk us through this move?
Yeah, look, it's roster management, and it's not always simple. I think, you know, we always want to make it simple, and the fans certainly want it to be simple. In the fans' mind, like in spring training, for example, you pick your 26 best players, and there's your team. That's not even remotely how teams set opening day rosters. And in this case, it's a combination of off day coming this week, don't need the fifth starter, some issues with Quinn Priester. Maybe he'll be optioned eventually when Jose Quintana comes back, Brandon Woodruff comes back. But they want to delay that for some reasons of preserving an option on him maybe into next year. Those two guys that I just mentioned coming back is a factor in this. And then adding back Aaron Ashby and D.L. Hall. You know, these are sort of a little under the radar moves because they're going to the bullpen. They're long relievers. And those of us who've watched baseball for a long time, we're trained to think of long relievers as like, you know, mop-up guys, certainly not the most important players on your team. But the Brewers are kind of like, bringing them back as they talk about leverage in baseball and relief. high leverage guys, like, you know, your closer, Nick Mears pitching the eighth inning with a one-run lead, Jared Koenig pitching with a one-run lead, that's considered high leverage release. And the long guys typically are not in those types of spots, but because Logan Henderson, Chad Patrick, who's done a good job in the rotation, and Priester are often guys who sort of make shorter starts before they see some in some of the data that the Pat Murphy and his coaches are always looking at. They see a little drop off. They make a move to the bullpen early. You need a guy who can handle pitching with a run lead and hold it for 2-3 innings. So it's sort of a high leverage middle reliever. It's a big, kind of a growing role in baseball. And they think these two lefties, Aaron Ashby and DL Hall, can do it. And look, you saw it yesterday lead to a win. DL Hall covered parts of four innings. He pitched in parts of four innings, and they got, you know, a one-run victory. So that's part of it, too, is wanting to bring those guys back, and in this case, it was Henderson's spot. So it stinks for Henderson. He's done everything possible to stay here, and now he's been sent down twice. And Aaron Ashby said he talked to him about it and said, this is part of the business. Does you no good to get down, go pitch, and you'll be back and be a big part of this.
Adam, are there a lot of grandmas in the stands these days here in Milwaukee? Because I noticed you had some good advice. Remind grandma to bring her shawl these days, because the roof can be open, but it can still be a little brisk.
Well, was that the coldest roof open game we've had? I mean, I'm using cold because in the sun it was glorious. I mean, it was in the 50s yesterday. And, you know, frankly, I was a little surprised because we've seen it. Usually 60 is the magic number for the roof. And if it's right at 60, they'll usually err on the side of having it closed because the people in the shade, which is a huge swath of fans,
yeah.
I mean, it can be pretty freezing if you've sat over there, even when it's, you know, a nice day like it was yesterday. So I was kind of surprised, and I just didn't want grandma to be chilly over there. She's sitting, you know, on the first base side. You got to make sure she's all right on Memorial Day.
Good advice for the grandmas.
Definitely, right? Bring your shawl and your white pants.
I loved it, though, guys. I mean, I know the roof is one of those things, like, from the Brewers' point of view, you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't.
Totally.
Like, there's always going to be someone who thinks they know a better configuration. But I would always err on the side of open, because I just think it's such a great venue when the roof's open. I mean, when it's closed, it's an airplane hangar, and it's fine, and we get the game in. And that's all I care about after sitting through rain delays in Pittsburgh and on the previous trip in Tampa, and worrying about it in Cleveland. I mean, all that stress about are they going to get the game in? Are we going to drive all the way from West Bend to come down for the game? You don't even have to think about that here. But on a day where it's sort of like clear and it's temperature is the deciding factor, I sometimes wish we'd have it open a little bit more, because it's a great venue when the roof's open.
Hey, Jackson Churio didn't mind yesterday. I mean, 4 seconds into the game, the Brewers were up 1-0.
Well, and you look, Garrett Crochet going for the Red Sox, a very, very good pitcher and a gigantic guy when you see him on the mound. I mean, because he's pitched, you know, for the White Sox and the Red Sox, I don't think I've seen him live very often. I mean, he's just a beast when you watch him pitch, and to jump the very first pitch. Oftentimes a leadoff hitter will plan that before going to the plate. They'll like tell themselves in the on-deck circle, if I get something in the zone, obviously, I'm swinging. Jackson Churio said that wasn't the case yesterday. He is super aggressive, so it's not surprising to see him swing at anything, but it wasn't a case where he told himself, you know, really good pitcher on the mound, probably going to, you know, just try to get strike one and get ahead in the first count of the day. You know, that's a good chance to swing. And but Churio said he kind of reacted as it happened. And it was a big moment, because that just look at the numbers. Brewers, when they score first versus when they don't, it massively changes the game, even though it's just one run in the first inning.
Brewers hope to get back on track tonight here, keep the winning going against the Boston Red Sox. Adam McAlvey will be there. Give him a high five if you see him in the concourse. Appreciate it, Adam. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. See ya.